Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely lay all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let us bow our heads as we look to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do look to you this evening. We look to no other. No other can give us the help that we need to understand your holy word. No other can warm our hearts and show us the love of Christ. No other can make us meek and make us more like Jesus. So we need your Holy Spirit's assistance tonight. Give us, please, what we stand in need of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Part of the strategy in chess and checkers is to advance, to occupy territory and capture the enemy. It's a great game, but even military strategists play the game of checkers and chess, especially chess. In war, soldiers have the same strategy. They advance by force. They capture the enemy and their territory. Jesus was no stranger to warfare. The Roman army occupied his homeland by brute strength and military might. The rule of thumb in warfare has always been take land by force. If you don't do that, you're not going to win. They will have the victory, the enemy. The words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, they clash with secular human reasoning and with the military philosophy of taking territory by force. Jesus did not declare, "Blessed are those who are assertive." He didn't say, "Blessed are those who are aggressive and forceful, for they shall inherit the earth." He didn't put a high premium on any of that. What he did put a high premium on was meekness. On the contrary, then, he taught, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." We live in a day and age that emphatically rejects this beatitude. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, in the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Many declare it is only those who are aggressive and assertive who will advance. It is only those kind of people that are going to move forward in life and be what they ought to be and get all they can get while the getting is good. They insist that in order to get ahead then in the game of life, and they call that the life we live, the game, and it's not, but they call it the game of life. The only way is to reject this whole idea of meekness and embrace assertiveness. So as we unfold and unpack this evening's beatitude, we want to consider, first of all, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It rhymes. That sounds good. But that's about all it has in common. You see, meekness is not simply an easygoing disposition. We know people that have an easygoing disposition, and we say, "Oh, they are so meek." Inside, they may just be as angry as all get out, as we heard in the prayer. that we wouldn't be angry, but be meek people. Meekness is not a personality trait that is inherited from our parents. They say, well, look at their mom and dad. And I know people like that. The whole family, they're just so easygoing, they hardly say a word. But does that mean that they are the kind of meek people that are going to inherit the earth just because they have that kind of personality? If they don't have the character of meekness, that's a lot different. Meekness does not mean peace at any price. There are people that want to compromise to the point where they don't really have very many values left. And they just say, well, peace is the most important thing and I'll have it at any price, even if it means giving in to what I really cherish and embrace, my values, because peace is the key. I'll have it at any price. Well, it does not mean then to always compromise and give in if you're meek. Meekness is not cowardice. Many Christian martyrs were meek, but they weren't weak. They were frail due to their human condition, but they were not compromising whatsoever, and they died for what they believed in. They were strong and yet meek. They stood for the truth, and when it became necessary, they died for the truth. Meekness is not weakness. And that's the first heading. Meekness is not weakness. But notice, secondly, meekness is compatible with great strength of character. And here is where the key part is, the character, the strength of your character. In 1521, the Protestant Reformation leader, Martin Luther, we've all heard of him, he appeared before Emperor Charles V to defend what he had taught and written. And at the end of his speech, he spoke these words that we're all familiar with. Here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. This was a bold assertion that his conscience was captive to one thing, the Word of God, and that he could not go against his own conscience. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle, he defined meekness with great care using the same Greek word for meek that Jesus uses here in the Beatitudes. Aristotle said this. He said, the meek person is angry on the right occasion, with the right people at the right moment and for the right length of time. William Barclay, a commentator, he wrote these words about meekness. Blessed is the man who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. And then the Apostle Paul, of course, which was read earlier, he said, in your anger, do not sin. So the question is, how is it possible to do what the Apostle Paul says there in Ephesians 4:26? In your anger, do not sin. How is it possible to do that and obey Jesus in Matthew 5:5 to be a meek person? And if you are meek, you will inherit the earth by his grace. Not that you earned it, of course. Well, Barclay goes on, he says, we may say as a general rule for life that it is never right to be angry for any insult or injury done to ourselves. But it is often right to be angry at injuries done to other people. This is the first principle about meekness. It is not a selfish anger that is always sinful. Meek people do not get angry at personal insults or injury. What about you this evening? Can you think back this past week when you were angry at a personal insult or injury? And I see some smiles. But the word Jesus used for meek here in Matthew 5:5 is the word used to describe animals who had learned to accept control by their masters. I wish I had an animal like that, a dog that ever learned to do that. But this is speaking here about people also. In other words, Jesus is saying, these meek people, all meek people, they're well behaved. We say that an animal is domesticated when it behaves properly. And that's really the implication here and part of the meaning of meekness, applying then this to people. Meek people know how to behave. They are well-mannered, polite, and gentle. And above all, they are submissive to Almighty God. And so we've seen first that meekness is not weakness or cowardice. We've seen secondly, meekness is compatible with great strength of character, which the world just doesn't get it. And the meek person is angry on the right occasion, which really means that sometimes we repent of being angry, but maybe it was the right time to do it. That's another sermon for another day with more application. Meek people, we've seen, are angry with the right people, and they're angry at the right moment and for the right length of time. And maybe you're taking a deep breath and you're saying, oh, I feel a whole lot better about this sermon now because I've been angry. Just maybe it was the right thing to do. I don't know. But God knows, and we have to give an answer someday. And for those who are saved, he will forgive us for not being the meek people that we ought to be. We need to confess that. And that also is something that needs to be opened up at another time. But let's go to our third heading, a trusting attitude before God. Meekness can be described as a trusting attitude before God. This third description of meekness then is found in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And we'll read verses 3 through 7. And then verses 10 and 11. A trusting attitude before God, the description, the third description of meekness. Verse 3, chapter 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And then move down to verse 10. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Well, we see here then in these verses, first that trusting in the Lord is there in verse 3. That's part of meekness. And then in verse 4, meekness is delighting in the Lord. Verse 5, commitment to the Lord. And verse 7, it says, resting in the Lord, in the New King James, in the NIV, being still before the Lord. And then verse 7, waiting on the Lord patiently. So all these things are part of meekness. All of those points could be opened up and we could have another sermon about them all. But let's do something this evening. Let's test these descriptions in the time remaining, let's test these descriptions of meekness on some of the Bible characters in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's see if they are meek people or were meek people. First of all, let's notice Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 14, there is a narrative about a rebellion in his family. And this rebellion is against Moses by his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. Moses married an Ethiopian, and Miriam and Aaron didn't like the mixed marriage at all, even though God didn't forbid them to marry. They spoke against Moses. They didn't like it. They were angry. But God had not given any laws against mixed marriages. In fact, Joseph himself had once married an Egyptian woman. So notice there in Numbers chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, and we're finding out what kind of a man Moses was, if he fits this qualification for meekness. Numbers 12, beginning with verse 8. With him, God says, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid? He's speaking there to Miriam and to Aaron. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb, and its flesh half eaten away. But notice the response of Moses there in verse 13. It says, oh God, please heal her. That was his response. Oh God, please heal her. Moses was meek, but not weak. Recall when he heard God speak from the burning bush, Moses took off his shoes in the presence of God because he was standing on holy ground. Yet this meek man Moses, he obeyed God. He walked right up to the most powerful man in the world and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. He wasn't a weakling. He was strong but meek. Moses fits the definition of meekness. First, he got angry at the right time, but it was not a selfish anger. He did not get angry at personal insults. Secondly, he behaved properly with gentleness. And he had a trusting attitude before God. Moses even prayed for his sister to be healed. He didn't hold a grudge. He didn't want to get even. Consider a second Old Testament character, Abraham. Abraham had become very wealthy. We know the story. And the land was too small to support Abraham's flocks and his nephew Lot's flock. Abraham's solution is found in Genesis 13. Look there at Genesis 13, verses 8 and 9. In verse 8 it says, so Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Sounds like a good idea, it worked. But how many of us would have done that? He's compromising? No, he's meek. And yes, there is a bit of compromise there, but that's not a sinful compromise. I take that back. He was working with him. He was very humble and meek. So Abraham does this without murmuring or complaining. He doesn't go along with the deal and then complain. Another example of meekness is in the New Testament. And we look at the man Stephen there in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, reading verses 11, 12, and 13. And then verse 15. Stephen, another example of meekness. Verse 11. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. And then move down to verse 15 to see if Stephen was indeed a meek man. Verse 15 says, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin, they looked intently at Stephen and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Even his countenance was one of meekness and humility, like an angel. Well, Stephen's response then was meek. First, he did not get angry at personal insults. Secondly, he behaved like a Christian gentleman. Thirdly, he trusted God through this entire ordeal, knowing that he might be stoned, and he was. Because we read in Acts 7:59, they stoned Stephen, and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Think of everybody that could hear that. And they must have thought, this man is sure different. No cursing, no shaking his fist at them. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Again, Stephen was characterized by meekness. He didn't get angry at personal insults. He behaved like a gentleman. He trusted God. But the best example of meekness is Jesus. And we read about this, we read about him in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, And I'll read verses 21 through 25. 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 21, the best example of meekness. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Oh, what a meek example and a perfect example of meekness we find in Jesus. Remember, as he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a meek, godly, of course he was God, what a meek example for us. And then there's D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, this wonderful scholar, we all have heard of him. He writes about meekness. He says, when a man truly sees himself, he knows nobody can say anything about him that is too bad. And then he says, you need not worry about what men may say or do. You know you deserve it all and even more. And then Jones says, the man who is truly meek is the one who is amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. Are you amazed at how well people treat you? D. Martin Lloyd-Jones was. But notice our fourth heading, the promise for those who are meek. The promise for those who are meek. I love the promises of the Bible. There are so many wonderful, they're all wonderful if they're a promise from God. And the promise is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we all know that someday this planet, this will be heaven on earth. And that's, again, another sermon for another day. That's really what we're looking at here. We're going to go to heaven. And there are a lot of other things we can open up about this, too. And commentator James Montgomery Boyce says it just about as well as I've heard. He says, this is not a promise that the children of God will own oil wells or blocks of downtown Manhattan or orchards in Southern California. It is a promise for the future. We will inherit the earth. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And that new earth will be so magnificent and so glorious, far exceeding oil wells. 1 Corinthians 6:2 and 3, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge angels? And then in Romans 8, 16 and 17, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Luke 14, 11, Jesus said, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The meek, they don't look like they're going to amount to much. Oh, they just look so, according to the world, so frail. But oh, they're going to judge angels. Oh, they're going to inherit the earth. But the promise for the meek is not only a future inheritance, but it's the promise of a present reality. Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians 6:10 can be our testimony. There Paul says, I have nothing, yet I possess all things. Now that is a remarkable statement. It sounds like a contradiction. But he knew that because he had Christ, he had all things that he really needed, and he was content. Paul was content and joyful in the most difficult hardship. Benjamin Franklin, he said it this way, contentment makes poor men rich And discontentment makes rich men poorer. It doesn't matter what your financial situation is, you can be a rich person. Rich in Christ, rich in the blessings that he gives. We talked about some of those spiritual blessings this morning. Knowing Christ, being fed by Christ, having him by his Spirit, living in your heart, the assurance that you're going to heaven, the assurance that you've been adopted by him, that you're justified, you're made right with God through Christ. On and on and on and on we can go. We should be the most content people in the world. And that's part of being meekness. But what blessings the meek enjoy in the midst of their contentment, they can say, I possess all things. And yet the people that aren't meek, the people that aren't in Christ, the people that aren't converted, they have a very small window to try to enjoy a little bit of something before they die, and that's going to be it. And they're not content because they have to try so hard, as they say in one commercial, a beer commercial, I guess, or Pepsi, whatever, go for the gusto. That was an old advertisement, whatever you want to call it, commercial, and that's what people are doing. If you're meek, you embrace Christ, enjoy him, believe his promises. He's the only one that can make us meek too. So let's look at the application here in our closing comments. We cannot make ourselves meek. And you can't make anybody else meek. Your example can help. Your witnessing can help as God uses it. But it's produced in us by God's Spirit. Secondly, it is offered to us in the Bible, but we must look to Christ to receive meekness and ask for it and plead for that kind of character. We must humble ourselves. We must confess our shame, pleading with God to forgive us and to make us more like Jesus. And then, of course, we have the examples in the Bible. Paul, Moses, Abraham, Stephen, Daniel, Sarah, on and on and on and on we can go. All the Bible says in Hebrews, given for an example for us to follow. So let's determine by God's grace to follow the example of Jesus, who is the perfect example of meekness. And we read about it in Isaiah 53, verse 7. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, we really have the gospel. He was oppressed and afflicted, talking, of course, about Jesus, yet he did not open his mouth. Imagine hanging on that cross. Imagine the reviling. Imagine all the beatings, and on it went. And he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I wanted to be careful this evening not to just end it by saying tonight, be meek, that's the message. That's part of it. But you see, the gospel is, it's impossible for us to do that. We need God's grace. And the people that bow before Jesus and say, oh, I want you, dear Heavenly Father, to save me because your son is the one that died for me. Oh, dear Jesus, I have not been the contented person I should be and ought to be. I've lived for myself. I've gone for all the gusto in the wrong places. And I thought that just being assertive and just moving myself forward with my own bootstraps was my ultimate purpose in living, but it's living for Christ. It's pleading for his grace to be more like him. And it all begins with salvation, being saved by his grace. May God bless you, dear friends, as we remember these words in Matthew 5:5, the words of Jesus, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for these wonderful words that we find in Holy Scripture. So many verses, so much to be enthused about, and yet the world looks at this whole subject of meekness, and there's very little enthusiasm for that. And that's why we need the gospel, so that we could actually be enthused about being meek, because it pleases you. Oh, it's painful perhaps sometimes. And sometimes we respond incorrectly as Christians, and we don't get angry for the right reasons. We get angry for selfish reasons. Forgive us for that. Thank you that the sanctification process will indeed be a process. But someday when we enter heaven, all of these struggles to be meek, all of these characteristics that we long for to be like Jesus will be perfected. Oh, we will see Jesus face to face and we will be like him. Meanwhile, let us be found faithful. Let us do what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before others that they might see your good works and give God the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.